بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Islam is the name of a practice. Islam is not the name of a theory. Islam is not the name of a philosophy. If you learnt about judo and you went into the depths of how judo started, where it originated from, the philosophy behind it, if you studied the angles of the throws, the fulcrum of for the leverage of each throw, where on the body of the opponent the fulcrum should be placed, which is why that particular throw works, and so on and so forth. If you went into all of that detail and then you got into a street fight, somebody attacked you on the street, believe me, you would still hit the ground very hard. And the reason is because you do not know judo. You know about judo, you are a great scholar of judo, but you are not a practitioner of judo. On the other hand, a person goes to the dojo, he learns to fall 10,000 times, he learns to throw 10,000 times. He probably does not know anything about the theory behind it. He probably has zero knowledge about the origin of judo, about the names and biographies of all the great masters. But he knows judo. He knows how to fight. Now, when that man or woman is attacked on the street, they will win that fight. Even though if you brought them to a judo seminar and asked them to give a lecture on judo for 15 minutes, they probably could not manage it. There is nothing wrong in learning the theory behind something, but effectively, every body of knowledge, every subject, every faculty has a purpose. And the purpose of judo is to enable you to win a fight, is to enable you to defend yourself. The purpose of Islam is to enable you to go to Jannah. It is not for you to write books on. It's not meant for you to get a PhD on. It's not meant for you to become professor of Islamic studies in Harvard. It is meant for you to go to Jannah. If you became the professor of Islamic studies in Harvard, But you did not end up getting into Jannah because you never became a Muslim, you never accepted Islam, then that professorship of Islamic studies in Harvard is not going to help you. At best, it will become a hujjat, an argument against you on the Day of Judgment, because you will not be able to say that I did not know about Islam because you were a professor of Islamic studies in Harvard. The reason I'm saying this is because this is one of the great traps of shaitan, where shaitan, when he can't mislead you into doing haram, he misleads you into areas which are of no benefit and puts you into a spin where you intellectually ask what look like good questions, but actually they are questions which lead at best to a waste of time and at worst to confusion, which can eventually result in doubts about the Quran and Sunnah, doubts about the Quran and Hadith, doubts about Allah and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, doubts about the Aqidah. Eventually, the worst case scenario is that it takes you completely out of Islam. So even though the question itself might seem to be harmless, it is opening a door into an area which is extremely, potentially, very, very harmful. And that's the reason why everybody from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam downwards, the Sahaba, the Aimma of Islam, they all discouraged asking useless questions. Now let me give you the dalail for this. In one authentic hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set some limits. so do not transgress them, and commanded some commands, so do not ignore them, and made some things unlawful, so do not commit them. He has also left some matters without rulings, as a mercy with you, not because he has forgotten them, so do not ask about them. I'll repeat that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set some limits, so do not transgress them, and commanded some commands, so do not ignore them, and made some things unlawful, so do not commit them. He has also left some matters without rulings as a mercy with you, not because he has forgotten them, so do not ask about them. This refers to the ayat mutashabihat in the Quran, which our aqidah is that we accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us without asking how. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them in سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ in 6 periods, in 6 days, and ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made istiwa on the arsh. Now Allah did not explain the meaning of the word istiwa. Allah did not say istiwa means Allah is sitting on the arsh or lying down on the arsh or standing on the arsh or whatever the case might be. And therefore our aqidah is istiwa means istiwa. Whatever it means according to the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not speculate to say what is the exact nature of this thing. As I explained, we don't say sitting, standing, lying down or whichever state, we don't say that because this is against the adab of Islam. This is against the etiquette of asking questions. There is no one in the world who can answer that question. The only one who can answer that question is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who could have asked that question is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in this dunya, he never asked this question. So therefore, for somebody today to speculate on that and to say, well, you know, maybe this is what it means, would be to completely transgress the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important for us to keep this boundary in mind. For example, in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the last part of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven in a manner that suits His majesty and grace. Now, somebody to speculate on that and say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the first heaven. Does it mean now there is nobody on the arsh? What is the meaning of descending to the on the first heaven? And then in Australia, when it is night, in America it is morning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He descends to the first heaven, in Australia, when people are praying tahajjud, then what is happening in America? Now, these are the kinds of questions that lead to complete and total misguidance and complete and total doubts in the faith, which can lead to eventually to take somebody out of Islam. And even if that does not happen, definitely it puts all sorts of doubts. So therefore, I remind myself and you, let us stay within the hudud of the Sharia as it has been taught to us. I gave you the example, I gave you the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I gave you examples from the Quran. Now let me give you some more examples from the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Abasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّهُ. Now, somebody came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu and he said, what is the meaning of فَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّهُ? Because فَاكِهَة means fruit, fruits in Arabic. He said, what is Abba? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, who will hide me? Which sky will hide me? Which earth will shield me if I say about the book of Allah what I do not know? Now, who is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the one about whom we say, Ba'd al-Anbiya bit-tahqiq. He said his daraja, his level is after the Anbiya. He is the afzal. He is the best of all human beings after the Anbiya alayhi salam. Abubakar Siddiq radiallahu anhu could have gone to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, what is the meaning of Abba? He did not do that. And he did not speculate. He did not say to the man, you know, this is what it could mean. For example, Habba means a plumule. It's a seed that is sprouting, the green plumule and radical that come out of it. Maybe it means something like this and so on and so forth. He did not speculate. And the very important thing is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu did not speculate on the meaning of Abba. Now, does it mean that therefore Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was not a scholar? Which person today is willing to say that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was not a scholar and that he knows more Quran and more about the Quran than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? So the fact is that the true scholars of Islam, they did not speculate about the meaning of ayat and about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alluded to beyond what was apparent in the meaning of the Quran. So I've given you the dalail from the actions of the Nabi as well as from the Khulafa Rashidin. Now another one, second Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the same ayah, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّ. Sayyidina Umar himself speculated. He said, Habba means a sprouting seed. What could Abba mean? And immediately he upbraided himself. Immediately he stopped himself. And he said, Ya Umar, he said, may you, he upbraided himself. In that sense, he pulled himself up. And he said, what right do you have to speculate in something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made clear? If it was beneficial for you, if you needed to know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have told you. And when Allah did not say it, what is the need for you to speculate in that? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, a man came to him and he asked him, were Yajuj and Majuj Muslim? So Imam Ahmad said, have you perfected knowledge for you to be asking about this? He said, is all your knowledge complete that you have now come to this question of Yajuj and Majuj, if they are Muslim? Somebody came to Imam Malik and he asked him, if I was praying on the moon, in what direction would I face? So Imam Malik said to him, when you are ready to go to the moon, then you come to me and I will answer this question. My brothers and sisters, Imam Ahmad, for example, disliked that the person asked about something which is of no benefit in this life or in the next. Yajuj and Majuj, were they Muslim? How does it matter if they were Muslim or they were not Muslim? How does that benefit you in this world or the next? Therefore, let us remember and keep to this principle before we ask, and let us be very sure not to answer such things. And if thoughts come like this, do not fall into the trap. Don't let shaitan mislead you into pretending to be an alim when you are speculating in things that are no concern of yours. Asking about anything that comes into the mind is a sign that our minds are not being directed in the right way. And it makes knowledge something purely theoretical when in reality Islamic knowledge is purely practical. Now that is a very important principle to keep in mind, that Islamic knowledge is practical, it is not purely theory. The reason I'm saying all this also is because recently somebody sent me a video of one of the scholars, one of the modern scholars, speculating on the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam asma'a kullaha. He taught him all the names. The ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, where the malaika, they made this so-called objection to say that, why are you sending the human beings, why are you sending Adam alayhi salam and his progeny on the earth? They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they will spill blood and they will spread fasad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then taught Adam alayhi salam all the names. And then he asked the malaika to question Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam answered them. These ayat are from Surah Al-Baqarah. And so therefore, this scholar was Wallahalam, whether he was asked this question or whether he answered it on his own. Somebody sent me this video of this scholar speculating on what is the meaning of all the names. So did Allah tell him, these are mountains, that is Mount Everest, this is Mount Kilimanjaro, this is a river, that's a tree, that's a cabbage, that's a cauliflower, that's a lettuce? Or did he say, may Allah forgive him, no, Allah did not say all this. Allah said to Adam alayhi salam, He showed Adam alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. He showed them these people, and these are the people who did not spill blood. These are the people who did not spread fasad. These are the Anbiya alayhi salam. And he showed Rasul, he showed Adam alayhi salam, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he named a few Sahaba, and he said, this is what actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Adam alayhi salam. And therefore, this logically answers the question of the Malaika, because the Malaika are asking, why are you sending him on the earth? Because his progeny will do this. It would make no sense to answer that by saying, this is a tree. That's an elephant. You have to answer the question that is asked, which relates to fasad. Therefore, he showed Adam alayhi salam his progeny, which includes the Anbiya alayhi salam, and so forth. Now, this is the argument of this alim. May Allah forgive him. And he is explaining this thing to them. So, when I saw this thing, I said, let me see whether this is unique or what. So I browsed on YouTube and I found a Shia alim, somebody from India, but speaking in Iran, something Rizvi. This Shia alim is saying exactly the same thing for that specific ayah, except that he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed, and please notice my words, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Adam alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, radiallahu anhum. Now, my question is, two questions. First question is, what is the difference between the answer of the Sunni alim and the Shia alim? Except in the names, right? And the Shia alim also mentioned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he also mentioned Ali. And the Sunni alim also mentioned Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he also mentioned Ali. The addition is the Shia alim also mentioned Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein radiallahu anhu. What's the difference between the Sunni and the Shia? No difference. And second thing is that the specific statement which both of them are making, saying Allah did such and such. My question is, were you there at this time? Were you witness to what Allah did or did not do? Or are you receiving wahi that Allah told you that he did this or he did that? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mention either of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that Adam alayhi salam was that Adam alayhi salam, Allah showed me to him, Allah showed Ibrahim alayhi salam to him, Allah showed my daughter and my grandchildren to him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mention anything about any of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who received the ayah. He is the one who narrated this ayah to the people, and he said, this is the revelation that Allah has sent me. And that is it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not explain specifically what is it, asma akullaha, what does it mean? Does it mean this? Does it mean that? My brothers and sisters, please, let us not fall into this trap of asking unnecessary questions. And my submission to the ulama, please don't speculate in areas that you have no right to speculate on. This is not the sunnah of the Nabi. This is not the sunnah of the Sahaba and the Khulafa Rashidin. And this is not the sunnah of our Salafus Salihin. And if any modern scholar today thinks that he is so intelligent and that he is so knowledgeable, that he is going to speculate in things which his betters did not do, then that is between him and his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. My advice to anybody else would be, please do not listen to such scholars. Don't go and sit in their company, because they are people who are treading on a very slippery path. And if they fall, they will take you down with them. It is very important for us to understand that Islam is a religion of practice. So practice Islam. Focus on your salah. Focus on your amal. Focus on your earning, halal or haram. Focus on your spending. Focus on your akhlaq, your mamilat. How are you in the house? How are you outside the house? How are you in your business? How are you in your society? Focus on these things, because these are the things on which we are going to be questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you, tell me, what did I teach Adam alayhi salam when I said asma'a kullaha? Allah will not ask you, tell me, was Ya'juj and Ma'juj Muslim? Allah will not ask you, who conducted the nikah of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam? Allah will not ask you, when Allah said that Adam alayhi salam covered himself up with waraqil jannah, the leaf of the from jannah, now which leaf was it? Was it a banana leaf? Was it a mango leaf or what leaf? I mean, for God's sake, really, don't waste your time in absolute things which do not concern us, and which, even if we find out the exact truth, which is completely impossible, then that truth itself will not benefit us. My brothers and sisters, please make tawbah wal istighfar. If you have been doing this, make tawbah, make istighfar, and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on that which benefits you. And go to people who will teach you that which is beneficial to you, and practice that, instead of wasting your time in things which, even if you know the truth, which you are completely incapable of knowing, because the only one who can tell you the truth is Allah, and Allah is not talking to you. Allah is not sending you any wahi. If somebody says he receives wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we know what that means. So there is no way that you are going to be able to get a definitive answer to any of these questions. If the question comes into your mind, please be assured that this is from shaitan. Throw it away. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Stick with what Allah has told you and stay with that. Do not fall into this trap, because this is a very serious trap, and it can take you clean out of the religion. Even if that does not happen, you would have spent a lot of time and energy in speculating about things that have absolutely zero value, and which, as I told you, are potentially very harmful. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that which is not beneficial for us. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, and he said, O Allah, save me from knowledge which is not beneficial. Let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ittaqullah. Let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say this to the students, and I say this to the ulama who spend their time in speculating about things like this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, and he said, O Allah, save me from knowledge which is not beneficial. How do you think these kinds of arguments are going to benefit you? This is not a sign of intellectual superiority. It's not a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of crass stupidity. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us in areas which are beneficial for us, to enable us to practice this beautiful deen in a way that brings the beauty and the noor of Islam into our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmal rahim.